I'm really excited to have them and to be with you guys. It's just a privilege and a blessing. Thank you, Pastor Phil and Auntie Brenda, Uncle, Auntie and Uncle. Everyone in Hawaii is Auntie or Uncle. And I also want to thank Dr. Castleberry, the faculty and staff, for allowing me to be here. I come with good news. I come with a great report. Last year, you guys sent a team to Hawaii, and it was a missions trip. The Corallons came to Hawaii and totally wrecked the island with praises unto God. I call it the praise in the pandemic. And what happened was you guys sent about 120. I want to thank Brenda and Phil for doing that, because we are just so blessed. I'll tell you what happened from there. You know, of course, before, that was the last biggest event that Hawaii saw, was 120 students from Washington fly over to Hawaii on this missions trip. And you guys performed, and we took you guys in. You guys performed in our church, but you not only did you perform in our church, you went out into the community, and you were touching people's lives. And I want to report to you that blind eyes are being opened, hearts are being changed, people are getting saved, and the kingdom of God is being built. Amen? When you guys came, the praise went forward. You know, that was one of our earliest churches that started downtown Metro. And Pastor Andrew, he is so thankful for you, because right when the pandemic hit, it was like everything stopped. But you know what started? Intercessory prayer. And what happened was right now, we are seeing the greatest revival in our downtown church right now. And we are seeing, you know, what's incredible is as you guys did praise and worship, and you guys were bringing the Spirit of God. Chinatown in Hawaii is really a rough place. We have a lot of homeless problems, and our businesses were failing and everything. But when you guys came, and what God did in this, God's doing in this church, is he's giving us divine connections. He's opening up doors. And this past week, we were able to, there's all these connections that are taking place within our school community. And we're seeing hundreds of kids getting touched by God through that church. So let's give God praise. Thank you, Jesus, for all that he's doing. And that's why we consider you family. So thank you for being with, thank you for having us come out to Hawaii. Dr. Castleberry is like, we should probably send a team over to Hawaii. How many of you guys think that's a great idea? You guys can take a break from this cold weather and come out to Hawaii. But this morning, I just want to jump into the word. You guys have been going through a series in Exodus. And let me ask you guys, how many of you guys have ever experienced a time where you had hopes, you had dreams, you had great expectations, but there was a moment where your expectation and your reality and your experience didn't meet? Maybe you felt disappointed. Maybe you felt distraught. I remember, for those of you who don't know, I grew up playing the game of basketball. I love basketball. Any basketball players here? So I love basketball. I grew up that way. But I remember when I was starting my high school career, and believe me, it's nothing really to kind of be really excited about. But when I started my basketball career, we would often have teams from the mainland. By the way, this is the mainland. Teams from the mainland fly out to play different tournaments. I remember one particular tournament. We had this team from Alaska. They had told us it was like a small Christian school out in Alaska that was going to come and play. And we're like, okay, cool. We'll compete with them. When we walked into that gym, I kid you not. Now, I was 5'2", Asian, okay, full-on Asian, 5'2", and I'm like, and I can dominate. I can run past people, but when I walk into the gym, I see these 6'10" guys from Alaska. And all of a sudden, our little team, our tallest guy is 6 feet. Their point guard was 6'5". And I'm just thinking, hey, coach, I think they're in the wrong bracket here. These guys have beards. Yeah, they don't look like high school players. And we were like, wow, the shortest was 6'5", the tallest 6'10", and we played our hearts out. And it was the most demoralizing experience that I have ever had. I'm not going to lie. We didn't get past 25 points that game. And the worst thing about it is on a fast break, it was coming down. This guy was dribbling, and I was doing my best, okay? I was just doing my best. And I'm playing up against him, and he, all of a sudden, something happens, and I find the bottom of his shoe almost over me, and he dunks on me. Way to start a basketball career, huh? Disappointed, distraught. And at that point, I was like, you know what? I don't think this is for me. There's moments in our life where the present realities don't meet with our expectations. Maybe it's the first year of college for you, and you're like so excited, and then you got here, and you're like, man, I'm going through a struggle. Man, it's not meeting, and all your hopes and all your dreams, or maybe you're met with a painful situation. I'll tell you what, 2020, my gosh, was a dash of hopes, a challenge. And it sent so many people into despair, depression. And it's happened across the world. And let me tell you, if you've ever felt that way, if you've ever felt discouraged, you don't want to be in that place. It's a dark place. And when we look at Exodus chapter 6, and we look at our text today, Israel was in a dark, dark place. 400 years of enslavement. 400 years of pretty much, you know, oppression. And the people and the Israelites, they were enslaved, and they had been subject to hard labor. Treatment was ruthless. And if that wasn't enough, all their children were killed. All of the newborns were killed. I have a new daughter. Her name is Ava. She's 1 year old. But I can't imagine what goes on in the mind of an evil regime to kill the babies. And right here, Israel is in their darkest moment. And Moses is confronted. Now, remember, Moses is called from the burning bush experience, right? God has spoken. I had my encounter with God. The burning bush was there. Oh, I stepped and he said, remove your shoes. So I took off my shoes because I was on holy ground. Come on, someone. Have you had an encounter with God where you knew it was God? Have you heard from God, a voice from God, where you like, guarantee God, it is your word, it is your promise. And God said, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, God of Jacob. And the word that goes forward cannot return void. Hallelujah. You get back up and you're like, let's go. Moses had that encounter. And he was going towards the call of God. And he obeyed. Let me ask you. Have you ever obeyed God, but things just didn't seem like it turned out? God, I answered the call. God, I said yes to you. Why is bad things happening? Why aren't things turning out the way it should when your current reality doesn't match up with what you'd hope for? Israel was spiraling downward into despair and discouragement, wondering if God will keep his promises. And for Moses, he did confront Pharaoh. And in the chapter before, it says that he said, he went up to Pharaoh and said, let my people go. But no one tells us about the opposition we'd face in life. Okay, God, I said yes to you. I went up to Pharaoh. I obeyed you. And he said, no. In fact, when he said, let my people go, Pharaoh was so mad and angry at such an impudent type of request that he's like, you know what? Because you think you're all that and you hear from the Lord, we're going to take away the bricks. You go get it yourself. You get the straw. And all of a sudden, what God has said, I promise you, it's going to be good. You feel like God has gone back on his word, be it a relationship. Some sort of situation, and here we find Moses in a discussion. How many of you guys have ever had a discussion with God? A complaint. Let's just be real. Okay, God, why am I here? Okay, God, why I am feeling worse than I was before? I should have just been comfortable, but you took that step of faith. You took a step of taking a risk, and now you feel like God has let you down. I'm here to say and encourage you today that when you are bound by discouragement, and you're ready to give up, hang on to God's promises for deliverance. When you feel down and discouraged, don't give up. Don't give him. right? God is about to do something in your life if you would not give up. This is God's locker room talk to Moses, and that's where we find our chapter. It says this in verse 1, "But the Lord said to Moses, 'Now you shall see what I will do.'" Can I just tell you, when God starts off a sentence that says, "Now you're going to see what I can do," you better get ready. I feel like someone in here needs to know that God's saying, "Now you're going to see what I can do." For many of us, and maybe discouraged, maybe you're pursuing, God says, now that you've obeyed, now that you've stepped, you're going to see what I'm going to do. "Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand, he will send them out, and with a strong hand, he will drive them out of this land." God spoke to Moses and said to him, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant promise with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land to which lived as sojourners. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the people of Israel who the Egyptians hold as slaves, and I have remembered my covenant." God is reminding him that he is the great I am. He's reminding him from that encounter, and we've had those moments. "I did speak to you. You weren't crazy." Some of your family members think you're crazy. Some people are like, thinking, what the heck are you doing? Like, what do you think? That doesn't make sense. And you're just saying, "I just came out of faith that God is who he says he is." God is reminding Moses that he is the God of the bush, but he's going to be the God of the breakthrough. God's confirming that he remained the covenant-keeping God that fulfills his promises. And to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, he appeared to them as the God of promise. But now God's about to reveal himself as God the deliverer. You have to remember, okay, when we look at Old Testament and we look at the New Testament, there's a typology, there's a type of Christ, and there's a message that threads throughout the entire Old Testament into the New Testament that points to Jesus. And he's saying right now that, hey, there might be suffering right now. You might be going through some challenges. You might be depressed and you might be discouraged, but hang on the third day, there's resurrection. On the third day, there's power. Those who were captive, the Egyptians, were about to learn of the God of the liberator, the defender, the God of the rescue. He is the God of deliverance, the God of victory, the creator of all the earth now comes down as the God who cares. We just read, right? "I hear you. I hear the cries. I see your pain." And I think oftentimes when we take that step of faith, we think that, "God, where are you in the midst of this situation?" Number one, his presence is in the midst of your peril. His presence, he promises his presence in the midst of your peril. And it's interesting because you go down to verse 9, it says this, "Moses spoke thus to the people of Israel, but they did not listen to Moses." Oh, have you ever been in ministry where nobody wants to listen to you? Have you ever been in a job where you're the new person in a group and they're like, newbie, just a freshman? Can I tell you, right here, Moses came, and what does he have to relate with any of these people? He wasn't enslaved. He was in the palace. Who's going to listen to him? Sure, Aaron, but Moses, you got no qualification to tell us how we should live our life. "Moses spoke thus to the people of Israel. They did not listen to Moses because of their broken spirit and their harsh slavery. So the Lord said to Moses, 'Go in and tell the king, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the people of Israel go of this land.' But Moses said to the Lord, 'Behold, the people of Israel do not listen to me. How then shall Pharaoh listen to me? For I am uncircumcised lips.'" You see what happened here? Moses' first excuse was he couldn't speak eloquently. He's like, no, the burning bush is like, "I don't have the eloquence of speech." But what happened was the fear went all the way deeper. He said, I'm not even worthy. I shouldn't be doing this. And he's in this shameful position because it has been a failure. God, what are you doing? Why am I here? There was a disappointment. he was going through, and disappointment leads to discouragement, leads to disillusionment, and leads to defeat. And that's how the enemy likes to work. He likes to keep us in this echo chamber where we start to get isolated, and we start to kind of look deep into ourselves. And we're like, you know what? Maybe, God, you're not with me anymore. Maybe I made the wrong decision. The truth is, the higher the hope, sometimes the greater the disappointment. And we kind of say to ourselves, it's not supposed to be this way. But I want to remind you, Psalms 119 says this, Psalms 119, verse 68, you are good and you do good. You are good and you do good. Teach me your statutes. Are you disappointed with your circumstance? Are you disappointed with your failures? Are you disappointed with your situation? Are you discouraged? I want you to know that God is there in the midst. He is present, and he knows what you're going through, and he feels. That's the message of the gospel, is incarnation, that God in heaven comes down to us today. And how, in times like this, we need just the community of God. We need people to speak life into our brokenness. I want you to know that wherever you're at, whatever discouragement you're facing, God is present. You may have lost someone. Oh man, this year was the first year I lost a youth leader to death, and I had to do their funeral. And you know, no, Bible college it can't prepare you for this kind of stuff. And Mimi Smith was one of the people that championed me, and when I came into youth ministry. And it wasn't actually COVID, actually it was cancer. Everyone's focusing on COVID, but there's other things that take the best of away from us. And I was with the family, I was in their peril, and there was a lot of discouragement. Why, God, why? And I couldn't say anything, but all we do know is he's present. All we do know is he knows, he hears, he is with you. Secondly, his promise is in the midst of the process. Oh no, the buzzword, process. Everyone's good with promise, but oh man, God, you know, like God's like, you know, the word is process. Oh, I'm going through the process. Yes, Lord, to the promise, but I don't like your process. Land flowing with milk and honey, yes, but not the wilderness. I see church plants, I see missions, I see great things and all sorts of things that you're going to do, miracles, signs, and wonders, but don't ask me to serve in the nursery or the youth ministry. When I came into, I was Mr. Missions at SAGU, and I was all excited. We're going to touch nations. We had sent teams to 78 countries within 2 years at SAGU. It was so exciting, and then I was like, you know, I came back home, and I was given 2 youth in the youth ministry. It's like, okay, let's do this. Let's change the world. McDonald's every week. 1 week after another, I'm like thinking, God, this hurts. This the process. We have, God has spoken to you promises, but I want you to know that he's the God of the process to get you there. I remember the worship team, and we had such great worship. They introduced a song. It was so nice. And it was so beautiful until they started singing the words. If the altar is where you meet us, take me there. Take me there. What you need is just an offering. It's right here. My life is for you. I'll be a living sacrifice. You're a fire, the refiner. I want to be consumed. I want to be tried by fire, purified. You take whatever you desire. Lord, here's my life. I'm like there worshiping. I'm like, who wrote this song? Are you crazy? I was so like concerned. I'm like, half the people in this room does not know what they're singing right now. I want to be tried. Oh, yes. And then it kind of burn righteously, burn beautiful, burn righteously, burn beautiful. I'm like, guys, let's stop the service. I don't think you want that. We want the promise. I don't know if we want the process. Chandler Moore, he hit it, but I was like, that's like next level worship, because we should have like crosses all over the altar, and you just lay your life down. You're dead. Because here's the thing. Promise is the building of faith. Process is the building of character. Promise is the dream. Process is the dirt. Promise is the grace given. Process is grace empowerment. Promise is the gifts of the Spirit. Process is the fruit of the Spirit. Promise is leadership. We all want leadership, the promise of influence, the promise of managing. But let me tell you, the process is to remain under leadership. Too many times, we don't know how to honor leadership. And that's my problem. Oh, sorry, that's not my problem. That's where God's process is working inside of me. I have to constantly realize that I am working under leadership, because it's only when I can understand honor that I can really attain the promises that God has for me. Promise, I'll tell you what, it is influence, but process is intimacy. And right here, God reinforces with the scripture. He says in verse 6, say therefore to the people of Israel, 7 things. I am the Lord your God. These I wills. I will bring you out from under the burdens. I will deliver you from slavery to them. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who has brought you out from under the burdens of Egyptians. I will bring you into the land that I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and I will give it to you for your possession. What he was saying was, I will bring you out. I will deliver you. I will rescue you from your bondage. I will redeem you. I will take you as my own. I will be a father. I will adopt you, and I will give you a legacy. I will give you land and legacy. Let me tell you, God, his promise and is in the process is that he's there. He will be there. He will be your strong tower. Then the Lord said to Moses, see, I have made you like God to Pharaoh's, and your brother Aaron will be a prophet. You see, after you've gone through that process, his power for proclamation, now we can be agents of bringing deliverance to the poor and the needy. You know, when talking about process, I remember I had a chance. One of the countries, my prayer countries, is China. And it's interesting, the story of how my grandpa fled the communist regime during that time, found his way to Malaysia, missionary to Malaysia, found his way a pastor in raising up a church, Chinese church in Hawaii. And now I have a passion for the very country he left. And so one of the things is I decided I wanted to visit the country. And there was an experience that we had as we were in the province of Shenyang, right across from North Korea. And we're reaching out, and we're getting connections. We're at the university doing English corners and everything. But we get a chance to meet up with an underground church, believers. And we go through this pathway that's very secretive. We go up a flight of steps. We knock on the door, and in we have this fellowship of Christians quietly worshiping God. You see, what had happened was God was doing revival within the underground church, and the small group became big groups, and it was starting to get out of control, so they had to disband it into smaller groups within the homes. And so, like, this is how we're going in, we're knocking in, and what I found out, and this is the process, this is a story that it stuck with me as I sat there, and I'm hearing one of the American missionaries there tell his devotion. He says this, today I'm going to speak about thanks for nothing. He had a very influential practice as a doctor in his community in America. He had everything he needed, but then God said, give it all up. And then he took a map and just kind of did one of those really spiritual things where you kind of just close your eyes and just, you know, drop a pin. He found himself right there. And his devotion was like, I had everything, but God told me to give up everything. And in giving up everything, I found my everything. So that's what he said. Thanks, God, for nothing. Maybe for you, sometimes you feel like you're in a nothing spot. Nothing's going your way. Nothing's happening. You're discouraged. But I want you to know that God's hand is on your life. Don't give up. Don't give up. You're one chip away at a breakthrough in your life. Continue to persist. Continue to go forward. Continue to believe and trust in God's promises for your life. Moses did not know the outcome of the situation would be. It would be to set Israel free, but it would reveal that God is the great deliverer to generations to come. And that's why this biblical text of the deliverance and the Exodus would be passed down story throughout the Jewish community that God is the God of the deliverance, that God is the God of the rescue. And it would paint a picture, a foreshadow of what Christ would do. And can I tell you, as I started, blind eyes are being opened right now. Lives are being transformed. Maybe right now you're in the preparation and you're in the process, but I gotta tell you, teenagers' lives are being changed. Let me tell you, lives in Seattle are being transformed. Right here in Kirkland, God is doing a work, and it is starting with each one of us today. Christ is the liberator. He can liberate you, not so much take you out of the process, but he will be with you through the process because he has a calling on your life. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, right? His inauguration. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, God's calling is on your life. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't be disillusioned. Don't be discouraged. Hang on to God's promises because he is going to use you in a powerful way. Thank you, Jesus. If you're discouraged, disappointed, desperate for a miracle, let me remind you, he's the God of deliverance. If you're struggling with offense, if you're struggling with unforgiveness, if you just don't feel like you can give honor to those who don't deserve it, ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I need you to fill my heart with your love. Can I just pray with us today? Father, Lord, I just thank you, God, for this group of world changers, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, that just like we've saw in Moses, God, he was questioning his call. And Father, right now, I wonder if there might be some in here who are questioning, God, why me? What's going on? Discouraged, disillusioned, and hurt, God. But Lord, I ask, God, for your grace to be upon them because you want to use them to do extraordinary things for your kingdom. But you've used this discouragement, used this situation to draw them closer to you. And I just ask that you would empower them, that you encourage them, and use them for your glory and honor. We love you, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.